Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I've never had this opportunity, and I have to tell you something, folks. I am absolutely thrilled at this opportunity to talk to my friend James Golden. You know him as Bo Snerdly, and he's got a brand new book out, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. James Golden, welcome to WBT.
Well, thank you, Brett, very much. So good to be with you.
It's good to be with you as well. I want to dive into this book with you, but I wanted to first ask you this question, and it's something that I always wonder about. I wonder about when I talk to people who are in broadcasting. When you were growing up, what did you want to be? Did you want to be a broadcaster? What was your dream as a kid?
I wanted to be an astronaut first.
Oh, cool.
You know, and then I wanted to be a lawyer. And then after I visited a radio station for the first time, my cousin was a disc jockey. I went to a radio station when I was 14 years old, and that changed everything. The moment that I walked in, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. And it hasn't really changed since then. It's been very rewarding most of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what I wanted to do.
Did you want to be a talk show host? Did you want to be a disc jockey?
I wanted to be in the business. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I suppose I wanted to be a disc jockey, but I wouldn't get on the air until much later. My first job ended up being behind the scenes doing rating analysis and marketing. And then later on, I became music director, which I loved doing, and that's how I got to WABC. Mm-hmm. And I was their last music director and first talk producer. Now, you know, it's funny, Brett, that you say that, because I believe God always gives you what you need to succeed in your life.
Yes.
I had been reading newspapers and was so politically oriented since I was in, like, the third grade. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to read the New York Times. I started reading the New York Times when I was in grade school. The New York Times, the Daily News, the New York Post, the Amsterdam News, the Long Island Press, all of, and my folks, my dad was a voracious reader, mm-hmm. as was my mom. So we used to get all these papers at home, and I was in the newspapers every day. I was listening to news radio and music radio when I was a kid. So I was influenced by listening to news radio and also to the R&B stations and to WABC, which was the big top 40 giant in the market. So I came kind of well-versed to do all of it.
When you went to WABC, when you went there the first time and you were going to work there, right? Did it feel unreal to you? Like, did you feel like, well, gosh, I didn't think I'd end up here, or did it just come naturally? And did you just feel like, okay, this is it, let's go, let's rock and roll? How did you feel about it? It took
6 months for that to happen from the time I was interviewed and told yes until I actually got the job.
Wow.
Because they did an extensive background check. I had been working at WWRL, which was an R&B station in the market.
Right.
And this was moving up to WABC. And look, they wanted to be really frank, they wanted to make sure that they weren't getting somebody that was involved with payola or anything else.
Right.
So they did an extensive background check. It took 6 months, and then I was hired. So it was pretty remarkable. And they said, I mean, at the time it was so funny because the PD that hired me said, I just remember saying, they looked high and low. They can't find a thing. There's no dirt. You have no dirt. Like, of course not.
That's good. That's incredible. James Golden is my guest. Is my guest here. You know him as Bo Snerdly from the Rush Limbaugh Show. You mentioned, James, that you were the last music director at WABC and the first talk producer at WABC. Let's talk about the first time you met Rush. How did that go, James? What was that
experience? I met Rush his first day in New York. And this is just, it's just the way, you know, karma, for those of you that believe in karma, this is how karma works. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was with Ed McLaughlin,
sure,
who was his broadcast partner at EFM Media, and they were coming in. Now, I had known Ed from my days as music director, and there's a story about that in the book, how I had met Ed. Anyway, I met Ed outside the building. We were still at 1330 Avenue of the Americas in the big ABC building, mm-hmm, and he was coming in, I was going out, and there was a guy with him, and he introduced me to this guy. The guy's name was Rush Limbaugh. And we talked for minutes and minutes and minutes, and I figured out pretty quickly that Rush was going to do a syndicated radio show and that he had this amazing history. And so I remember making a quip, oh, you're going to be bigger than Paul Harvey. And, of course, Rush became the biggest, yeah, you know, broadcaster in radio in our history. So it was just amazing. He was a sweetheart the first day I met him.
Yep.
And his first day in New York, it wasn't until later that I was rotated on his show, but I did meet him his first day in New York as he was coming in to WABC, to ABC Radio.
The thing that people will ask me from my time on the show, and certainly it was a much more limited window, but what they'll ask me is, What's he really like? What's he really like in person when you talk to him? And I always say the first thing that always comes to my mind is, I say that voice is so distinct. You know it is Rush Limbaugh. And when you're talking to him in the room, you knew him before he exploded and was ginormous. When I first started talking, I'm like, I'm talking to Rush Limbaugh. Like, this is really cool. And then we got down to the business of show prepping and stories and all that sort of stuff. And but he was the most sincere and generous and kind guy that I've met in the business. I mean, he was really that I've met in any business. I mean, he was a remarkable person, and he was always that guy from Cape G.
You know, the thing about Rush is you look, and when people use the words like shy, humble, and all that, there are a lot of people that can't relate to that being Rush. Mm-hmm. But Rush was a very reserved person. He was very private. He was very, but at the same time, he could be so funny and so outgoing in moments.
Yep.
Hysterical. But he was always, always focused, no matter what. It always came back to the show when he was focused on the show. He loved doing what he did. He loved it. Mm-hmm. He loved being successful. He loved working, and he never stopped working.
Yep.
And on top of that, he was so generous. He was such a humanitarian.
Yep.
He changed the way the radio business worked, and then went on to change the way American media worked. Not only that, I look at the generosity, all the money he and then later he and Catherine raised for charities. Mm-hmm. You know, that money, those charities have no political or ideological bent.
Right.
If people of all stripes get leukemia, and the amount of money that he raised for leukemia benefited so many people, not just in this country, but over the world, because life-changing cures come from that sort of thing. So his impact, this one man, mm-hmm, Brett, had just such a remarkable scope of his impact in so many different areas. And yet, as you say, he was a very gentle, very generous, mm-hmm, very kind human being.
Very much so. Very much so. James Golden joining me here on the show. You knew him before he was the big national, international phenomenon. I mean, he became synonymous. I mean, he single-handedly saved AM radio, you know, a lot of people say, and
he did.
He was an incredible force out there in the world of broadcasting. But you met him on a street with Ed McLaughlin. He's not famous yet, you know, nationally, internationally famous yet. Did it shock him that he would become sort of the target that he became? Admittedly, I mean, look, he went hard at critics, and he went hard at the folks, but he was never unfair. He was honest. He was telling the truth about what crazy liberals wanted to do and what Hillary Clinton was going to be and all that sort of stuff. But did it shock him that he became, you know, wanting to be a broadcaster and a broadcast star and a success, which he was, did it shock him that he was vilified so much?
I think in the beginning, yes, it did. I think it would be fair to say that for a very short window, it did, because as he said it, he said he, never in his life had he been called a racist. He had never been called any of these horrible names that the left pinned on him until his show took off. But see, that's the point. The left in this country had never found themselves on the receiving end until Rush Limbaugh. They were never mocked and ridiculed nationally for their beliefs. And he did it based on what they said. He didn't make stuff up. And they responded with hate.
Yeah.
And they responded by being divisive. And I think it did in the beginning shock him. And he talked about how at first he had the question, how do you deal with this? Because it was, how do you deal with being called a racist? How do you deal with being called these horrible names? And of course, he wasn't one. He wasn't any of those names that these people tried to latch on him. And so it had to be difficult. But then I think he grew accustomed to it, and kind of it was a badge of honor, or I believe more than likely, and look, this just comes with the territory of being extremely successful.
Yeah, I mean, because look, you have jealous people in every industry, and radio and TV is no small business for people who get jealous and want to come at you. And yet, at the same time, he was among the most sought after people to get interviewed, to talk to, even the people, you know, household names that you and I both know and everybody would know. You know, they'd reach out to him to try to get an interview with him, and it would be like the biggest thing. And yet they would still
because
turn around
their ratings
hammer.
Because if he would say yes, their ratings would jump like all crazy.
That's right.
Purely selfish.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. James Golden joining me here. You know, James, we traveled a good amount of this time together. With Rush, and saw a number of challenges and a number of things that he had to overcome and did. I mean, the thing that people to this day forget is this is a guy who loses his hearing and remains not just on top, explodes even bigger. He was deaf. I mean, he had cochlear implant, but this is a guy who conquered with.
Brett, I just forgot to talking about this. Do you realize, Brett?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That Rush Limbaugh's syndicated show, he did the syndicated show deaf longer than he did it with hearing.
Holy cow. I didn't realize that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. 20 years of that 33 that he was on the air, about 20 years of that he did the show deaf.
He just had the wrong body part tied behind his back.
Great point. You know, but let me say something to you about the staff, okay?
Yeah.
Because yes. There was you. There's so many people that we can't mention because it would take all day to go through each and everyone's contributions. But see, everybody on the staff, we had the same objectives. You included all of us. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the staff loved Rush. It's not just we liked working for him. It's not just we were proud to work for him. Everybody right. loved the boss
yep.
because he was so good to everybody. Mm-hmm. This was more than any kind of working environment I had ever been like in radio, and it will never be duplicated. And then you got to meet people who were your coworkers who were all immensely talented in their yep. own right and could
yes.
have done anything they wanted to. Kit Carson, oh my God, how much we missed Kit.
Oh my God.
We missed Kit Carson, our chief of staff. When he passed, it was like a hole in our hearts that we've never been able to recover from. But then there was you, Mr. Winterbowl. But everybody brought their A game all the time, which made it not just a joy to work with Rush, it was a joy to work with our colleagues because
that's right.
everybody so talented.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Without a doubt in the world, that's 100% right, James. He's left us way too soon, and I think back to that day when he announced that on the radio. In fact, it was actually the first fill-in shift that I did at WBT when I was auditioning for the station. And I'm sitting there with the headphones on, getting ready to go, and I'm hearing him make this announcement. And it was immensely difficult to hear, obviously, right? And all of that. He fought like a lion to get through all this. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on towards the end when he
see, it was so difficult. Look,
yeah. Yeah.
I remember last Christmas and we're going back into the holiday season.
Yes.
You know how much Brett, you know how much Rush loved the holiday season.
That was his favorite thing.
He lived for the holiday season. I mean, this was his time of year. He loved it. And so last holiday season, I remember I was just so depressed. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to go. I didn't go anywhere Christmas. I just wanted to stay home and mope, because you could tell that he was fighting, but boy, it wasn't going well.
Yep.
And then I could see after the show, you know, look at how tired he was. But here's the thing that I take away from all of that.
Yep.
You know, if I have a terminal, if the doctor tells me, okay, your time is up, you have a terminal disease, I'm sorry. Everything I'm doing right now, I'm not going to be doing. I'm going to spend the last few months or whatever time that I have doing stuff that I want to have a chance of doing.
Yes.
Rush's bucket list, he had a bucket list. And Rush's bucket list was his audience.
Yeah.
He wanted to spend every single moment with his audience that he could. And throughout this very difficult illness, he did that. And he did it with such grace. He did it with such aplomb. And he was just remarkable. And that the last year was certainly difficult, but it just, again, burnished indelibly who this man was. He was such a professional. He was such a good, kind-hearted man up until the end. And he had such a passion for what he did. And his success is unparalleled because of it.
So let me take it back to you, James, as we close out here. Did you accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish when you started out as that young person coming out of WWRL and wanting to get into the world of broadcasting? Did you check all your boxes? Do you still have stuff you want to do? I know you've got an incredibly successful show on WABC in New York City. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is when you start, right, in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I have not. I have so many ideas that I want to do for the program, and I'm getting older now. Who knows whether I'll live long enough to do all the stuff that I want to do.
Also,
you know, I'm still active in the music side of life. I'm still active in other things. So I'm by no means satisfied, but I am this. I am so gratified that I had an opportunity to work with Rush. The people that I worked with at WWRL before I came to ABC, they were geniuses in their own right. These guys were amazing. My entire career, I've worked with some of the most amazing broadcast professionals, both in R&B and Top 40, and then finally with Rush and the talk format. I've led a charmed, blessed life as far as my career goes. And it's just been a dream, and it's a dream that keeps on giving. You know, I've had some bumps in the road like everybody else. There were moments that were really tough. There were moments that I looked in the mirror and said, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
But for the most part, man, I've had a blessed life. And part of it has been meeting lifelong friends like you, Brett, and people in this. You know, at the end of the day, what do you remember? You remember that you had, you know, it's not the news story of the day. It's the relationships that you build.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had some amazing times. We've worked with great people. And it has just been so gratifying.
James Golden, jamesgolden.com. Go over to the website, order the book, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick of 30 years. James Golden, Bo Snerdly. I'm just so thrilled that we got to do this together and have this conversation after
Me
we got
too,
to do
Brett.
Everything else together.
And you know, Brett is the only one of our alumni that actually filled in for the boss. And we are all so proud of you, Brett. We are so proud of you, all of us, and we love you so much.
Yeah.
You were such a key to the show and all of the hard work that you put in there, but the success that you've had afterwards, Brett, you've earned every single minute of it, and we're just so proud of you.
Thanks, James. It means a lot to hear that. And this is the first of many conversations, I promise you. We will be visiting again soon, both on and off the radio.
Wonderful.
Appreciate you, James. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Brett.